Yo, 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 what's good? What's good? What's good, everybody? It's your boy, the host, man, the one and the only. Your boy A Reese in here chilling in the mix. Back with another edition of the Monday Man Cave. I'm glad to be back. I know I told you guys I wasn't gonna be here last week. I had to go out of town, me and my lady. We went out there to Tennessee, man, had a good time. I'm glad I'm here. Of course, you already know I got my man Broken, aka Brian. He is in the building to join me and do this thing here that I do call the Monday Man Cave here on the BGSC Network. Yes, I am the owner and the operator, the sole proprietor of this show. I'm not selling any liquor and I'm not looking zesty. Please don't come beat me up. It's all good. You know what it is, man. We're gonna get into it. You are now officially kicking it in the Monday Man Cave. We about to get this thing started. You feel me? Let's go. Swagger pimp, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, it goes 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, rocking. It's time for hip hop. Who may reach watch? No, sir, not for shows. No bars made up of fairy tales. I'm trying for a tragedy, I know it well. So put your hands up in the air just for the winners. A peace sign, a pimps, the prostitutes, the sinners. We all deserve a second chance, but we products of illusion and victims of our own circumstance. Apply the pressure, I bet you can. Live a life that you love, shout out to Rand. Love the life that you live, shout out again. It ain't a tough pill to swallow once you comprehend.
All right, man. Glad to be here. Glad to be back, man. Again, I appreciate you guys chilling here with me here on the Monday Man Cave, BGSE Network. Y'all already know how we do it. Shout out to Big Game James. Shout out to my man, the Buff Nerd. You know who you are. Shout out to the Philly boys. Y'all know what we do. We on the down. Brian, man, glad to have you back.
Yo.
You know what I'm saying?
Good to be back.
Me and Brian, we did some shooting with VR. Or was that last week? What, last Friday? Had a good time, man. Had a good time, man. I actually beat him by 1 point, man. You want to call it, you know, the kills and stuff. I think it's 158, 157, but I'm telling you, man, there's nobody else I would rather go to war with than this guy and my man Grip. Man, we got some gun. Good gun game, man. But it is what it is, man. Appreciate it. Y'all see the title, man. A lot of stuff going on. We're going to talk, and we are definitely about to get right into it. So without further ado, let's get into the business, baby. A Reese, 3 points. Let's get it. Three points, agree or disagree. And shout out to my man, Big Game. He said, what's up? Please leave your comments and everything like that, man. We will definitely post it and we'll talk. Definitely. Thank you, man, for tuning in with us. So let's get into this, man. My first point today, let's talk about this. And everybody talked about it. Brian, look, he's part of your favorite team. It's a love and hate relationship that people have with this guy, man. But y'all know what it is, man. LeBron James has scored 40,000 points. The first person, the only person at this point in time to score 40,000 points in the NBA. Now, y'all have heard me say it before. I've had my instances and things like that, but I have decided in my own right, in my own way, I've just decided that I'm no longer going to be a hater of LeBron, no hater of anything like that. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying necessarily that I put him above Jordan or I put him above Kobe. I don't do that. I'm not going to do that. I would never do that. I'm just saying, I grew up watching.
That's still hate. No, it's not. But you don't have to say that.
Don't put those words in my mouth. I can say what I want to say. Okay.
Oh my god.
No, that is not hating. I'm saying it like this. LeBron will go down in history as one of the greatest to ever play the game. I understand it. It is what it is. And much love, appreciation to him for what he has done for the game. I thought about this when he scored those 40,000 points. And I thought about how all the different ways that people can go about this. Some people saying, well, it shouldn't really count, or it really doesn't matter because he's playing in a reformed league now where it's so much more offense and so much less defense, you know, compared to what Jordan had to deal with, what Kobe had to deal with. It's a lot of factors that so many people are going to put in there. We still have to look at the grand scheme of it all. He scored 40,000 points in his career. He's been in the league, I believe, what, 20, 21 years now? So to score 40,000 points and to be the only sole person that has done that is an amazing feat in itself. I'm not going to take that away from him. I'm not going to do that. Same way, I've had talks with you, B. I can't take away those championships that he won, even though I've heard people want to put asterisks on the bubble championship. Not going to do that, man. It is what it is because, shit, somebody has to do it. Shout out to Big Game. Big Game says, what's harder to do, 40K points in a career or 100 points in a game? Ooh, I would say maybe 100 points in a game on that one. I would say 100 points in a game would probably be hard. Because 40 points in a career, 40,000 points in a career, that means you have to play long enough to do that. And anybody that has been able to take care of their body the way that LeBron has, we've seen him do it numerous amounts of times in the offseason, he set himself up to be able to achieve these goals. So you have to give kudos to the guy. He has made himself still be a relevant NBA player, a relevant player in the league far longer than many, many people have. Many, many people have. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to discredit the 40,000 points. I don't want to discredit anything that he's done. Even though I may have my opinions about Michael, about Kobe, you know, but if you want to put LeBron there at number three, that's fine. LeBron can be your number one. It's fine. Whether I look, you know, we have our GOAT talks. We talk about the GOATs in different eras of the game. You know, Jordan was the GOAT in his era. Kobe was the GOAT in his era. So LeBron will be the GOAT in this era. But still, 40,000 points, man, is a very significant achievement. I congratulate him for it. That's a good job. Damn good job. What you feel, Brian?
For you to be like, I'm no longer – so you said I'm no longer a hater of LeBron. Like, I'm no longer going to hate on this man. But you immediately had to preference that by saying, well, that doesn't mean I'm putting him over Kobe and over Jordan. I'll never do that. Like, why did you even have to mention Kobe and Jordan? Like, just because you're not hating on the man, don't make sense that you think he's the GOAT. Like, that's crazy. Like,
how was that a hating statement? That's not a hating statement.
Because I didn't say that. What I said, I did. I said it's like low key, like still hating. Yes, because you didn't have to preference that statement. Like, I'm not hating on LeBron, but that doesn't mean I'm putting him over Jordan. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, people be like, just because you don't hate on him, that means you think he's the GOAT. No, like, two things can be true at the same time. I cannot hate on him and still not think he's the GOAT. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's all I'm saying is that you didn't really have to preference that statement. Like, well, I'm not going to hate on the man no more, but he still ain't the GOAT, but I'm not going to hate on him. Well, why did you have to say he still ain't the GOAT? Like, you still low-key hate on him.
I made the preface because I know that there are some people out there that would look at him scoring 40,000 points and automatically be like, well, Reed, he's the GOAT. He scored 40,000 points. He is the GOAT.
Can he be their GOAT?
He can be their GOAT. Yes, he can. We all have our greatest of all time.
So if somebody be like, well, yeah, he's the GOAT, like, and he's my GOAT, would you be mad at somebody saying he's my GOAT?
Hell no. I'm not. Right. That's what I was saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm not hating on that. Because my goal,
you still got to make it known that he's not your GOAT, though, even though you don't hate on him. Like, you have to make sure people know that. They understand that he's not your GOAT.
Considering this is my podcast and my show, considering that there may be comments that people want to put and be like, well, Reed, is he your GOAT? Well, I'm letting it be known. No, he is not my GOAT, but he's up there as one of the greatest of all time for the era. And if he's your GOAT, he is your GOAT. That is completely fine. I'm sorry.
That's funny. That's
And I saw Jordan. What I saw Jordan do is what I saw Jordan do. There's no denying that for me. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, it's different. GOAT depends on the area you grew up and watching. Thank you, Big Game. That's what I'm saying.
It's funny how
everybody's GOAT gonna be different.
It's funny how, like, whenever we have a conversation about LeBron, or anybody has a conversation about LeBron, like that, you know, I've seen other people have conversations about LeBron, and it's always like, man, I don't hate on LeBron. I don't hate what he did. Wait, are you saying he the GOAT? Like, no, nigga, I just mean I'm not hating on him. I don't hate him. I think he's a great player. Like, do you think he better than, like, I guess it's always going to be that, right? Mm-hmm. So that conversation is like, it's always going to surround him. He's always going to be compared to other players. And I mean, that's good for him though. Like, it's honorable, you know, that's an honorable thing, man, to always be in the same breath as Jordan, Kobe, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
and he should.
Wilt Chamberlain. You know what I'm saying? To even compare, to even ask the question, is it harder to do 40,000 or 100 in one game? Like, that's, I would love to be in that conversation. That's, you know, it's only two people in that conversation now that you can even have that conversation about, and that's him and Wilt. So those are the only two people you can even put in a conversation, ask that question. Is it harder to do 40,000 or 100? So, yeah, I mean, he's done something no one has ever done. And, they didn't stop the game for it. I'm glad they didn't stop the game for it, you know, because even though it's a huge milestone, I don't think he wanted that, you know, like all the glazing, like, you know, stop the game. Oh, 40,000, let's put a banner up, or, you know, stop the game, have him give a little, what is he going to do? Give a little speech or something for his 40,000 points? So, no, they didn't stop the game. They kept it going. The crowd, you know, of course, you know, took their pictures. You saw a whole bunch of selfies going off and everything like that. And yeah, he came out of it.
No, my bad. Yo, keep going.
They did not stop the game, but he came out of the game a little bit later after scoring the 40,000. He made like one or two more buckets after that. And when he came out the game, you know, he acknowledged the crowd. You know, he put his hand up and everything like that, you know, before he sat on the bench or whatever. I think it might have been either a TV timeout or just, you know, a change of possession timeout, something like that. So, yeah, they didn't really stop the game for it.
When he became the all-time leader in scoring, did they stop then? I'm trying to remember.
Yes.
Did they stop?
Yes. Yeah, I believe they stopped the game for that, yeah.
Okay. Big Game says a lot of people put Kobe over LeBron. He's a great top five for sure. Of course. I completely agree with you, Big Game. Completely agree with you. You know what I'm saying? But it definitely depends on the area that you grew up in. Definitely does. My question
real quick
is, no, go ahead.
Oh, before you go to your second point, just go ahead and wrap up what you're going to say about LeBron. I was going to add something after that.
My next question was going to be when this is all said and done, because I don't really know how many more years that LeBron is going to end up playing. I don't know. I think, you know, we can all sense that it's coming. I mean, damn, he's what, 39? He's probably about, he's my age now. You know, he's 39. You know, to see him still doing what he's doing at 40, maybe 41, he's trying to take a maybe a Tom Brady approach. When it's all said and done, I do believe a statue will be built of this guy. Just where exactly will this statue be built? Because he's won championships in three places, okay? In Cleveland, he's won it in Miami, and he's won in L.A. But when it's all said and done, I could see all three of those. I could see all three of those teams maybe.
No, I can't. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I can see all three of them maybe retiring his jersey. I don't necessarily feel like the Lakers would retire his jersey because it's just I don't necessarily know. I could see Cleveland do it. I could see Miami do it. I don't know about
that. I think the Lakers will retire his jersey, yes.
Okay. Okay. But where would his statue be?
Cleveland. That's the only place it can be. It's Cleveland. He literally built downtown Cleveland. Like downtown Cleveland was built around the Cleveland Cavaliers Stadium. Like Cleveland, downtown Cleveland was very poor economically. They were struggling economically before LeBron James came to the franchise. The franchise, the Cavs revitalized downtown Cleveland. And he's from Akron. He's from Akron, which is close. They don't necessarily totally claim Cleveland, but I mean, it's right there, you know? So he's from Ohio. Yeah. He's from Ohio. He's from Akron. The stadium, his statue has to be in, it has to be in Cleveland. It got to be in Cleveland. That's a hometown boy. He built downtown Cleveland. Downtown Cleveland was built around that Cavs franchise when he was there and that's the first time he was there. Not even the second time. That was the first time he was there. His first years there before he even went to Miami. That's the city was revitalized by his presence there because of the fanfare. And the franchise pulling in tickets and all of the tax revenue and just the money that poured into the city of Cleveland's economy. The stadium has to, he means so much to that area. The statue would have to be there.
That makes sense. Big game says no statue in LA. Hell no. I hear you, Big Game. But then he comes back and he says, why would they retire his jersey in LA?
Because he won a championship in LA, he broke Kareem's record in LA, he scored 40,000 in LA, and he'll probably retire in LA. So,
there you go. I mean,
and the Lakers respect all-time players. So you know what I'm saying? Like with LeBron being an all-time player, like Jeannie Buss has welcomed him as a real Laker. Like he's a Laker for all intents and purposes. With Los Angeles, with the franchise, in terms of the franchise, he's a Laker. So I mean, even though the fans may not totally see that, and I mean, a lot of non-Laker fans don't want to see it. And I think a lot of older Lakers fans may not want to see it, but a lot of the younger Laker fans, they grew up on LeBron now. Like
which is true.
You got 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds, you know what I'm saying? Like they grew up on LeBron already. So if LeBron plays another two or three years with the Lakers, who knows how many more I know for sure he's going to play one more. I know that for sure. I would actually be surprised. Me personally, I would be surprised if he retires even after next season. So I low-key kind of think he got at least two more in him.
Okay. I can dig that. The game showing you love. He said, okay, B. He was listening to you. Okay, okay. Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Okay. I get it too. All right.
I mean, it would also come off. It would come off as hating for the Lakers not to retire his jersey. It'll come off as hating. Like, it really would. Like, people be like, oh, like, you know, because of Kobe and because, you know what I'm saying? Like, they would blame the Kobe. They would literally blame Kobe fans if the Lakers didn't retire the bronze jersey. Like, y'all hating. It's the Kobe fans that's hating, don't want his jersey retired in L.A. Like, that's who they would blame. They would blame Kobe fans, and Kobe don't deserve that. He's passed away. And he don't deserve his fans getting blamed or to try to say his fans are hating on LeBron. Like, Kobe wouldn't hate like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think Kobe would hate. Kobe, not public. It will come off as I don't know why y'all don't think it's hating. That's how it's gonna be perceived. That's definitely how it would be perceived.
You would know, man. You a Laker guy, man. You a Laker fan through and through, man. So I respect it, though. I respect it. Let's go to this next point, man. So the word just came out that Mr. Russell Wilson is being cut from the Denver Broncos, which means he will not be their next quarterback. Hell, he won't be their quarterback this next season. Now, we all know Russell Wilson. He is a Super Bowl champion with the Seattle Seahawks. Could have been a two-time, but we already know what happened in that game. He comes down to Denver Broncos, and he's trying to get them to ride along with him. This, what, that, and the third. But we all have seen the debacle of what it was with him being the quarterback and Mr. Sean Payton being his coach. Wasn't a very good match. Was not a very good match indeed. And we see the fruits of the labor. When I look at stuff like this, personally, B, somebody has to end up being the scapegoat, and it's not going to be the coach. So if the coach can find a blame on somebody, he's going to blame it on somebody. Notably, I guess he felt like he could blame this on Russ. My question, though, and I'll say this, man, I'm kind of glad to see him getting out of Denver. I think he went to Denver with the right intentions, man, to try to help that team get back on their feet and do what they needed to do to get to a championship. I do still feel that Russell Wilson does have something in the tank. I think he can still provide for somebody out there in the league. It's kind of crazy because, shit, it wasn't too long ago where we were looking at Russell Wilson as one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And now, with the stint that he's had with Denver, it makes you just kind of scratch your head like, what the hell? Where did all of this go? My question, Russ is cut from the Broncos. Where does Russ go? Or who picks him up? Who's going to be that need of a quarterback to pick up Russ? Because now what the Broncos are going to do, I don't know. I'm not necessarily looking at the roster. I don't know if they still got Drew Lock back there. I don't know what it is. But they got to find a quarterback. It's obvious that they got to find a quarterback. They're going to draft a quarterback. They're going to be able to get somebody that can come in. You know, are they going to find them a veteran, you know, somebody to bridge the gap? Who knows at this point? But I think Russ could bounce back somewhere. But my question is, where and who do you think that would actually give Russ a chance to bounce back and do what he does best?
I can see him going to Minnesota. I can see him going to Tennessee. I think those two spots right there. I don't know about New England. I don't know. Belichick will not be there. So maybe New England might be willing to do that. since, you know, Belichick is not there.
I've heard that they wanted to change that culture down there in New England as well. They didn't want it to be as hard as it's been with Belichick. So you might be right.
He want to go somewhere where he possibly have a chance to win. Pittsburgh may take a look at him.
That's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. And I'm looking at it with, you know, Cincinnati being in that division. That could be tough.
Pittsburgh may take a look at him. You know, who knows? And he said he's willing to take the veteran minimum, I believe is what he said.
Yeah.
So like he's not gonna be breaking anybody's bank to bring him in either. So he can go to a team like Minnesota where they already have a good squad. Not saying Minnesota wants him, but that'll be a perfect spot for him personally. That'd be a great spot for him because they already got weapons and they already have a team that's built. And he won't be a huge hit to their salary cap, so they can still fill out defensive player. They can still fill out defensive players. They might be able to sign an O-lineman, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And that's to almost any team that's close. So any team that's kind of close, that's a playoff kind of team. I'm looking at places that's favorable to him. I don't know if any of these places want him, but I'm, you know, since I want to see him win, he's a cool guy, he's a good guy, and I want to see him win. Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Tennessee. I think Tampa is going to re-sign Mayfield. Mayfield wants his money, though. So
I understand Mayfield wants his money. Did he do enough to demand money?
Yeah, I think he did. He played very well. He played and he younger than Russ. He not as paid as Russ. Russ is willing to take less money because he got so fucking paid on that contract. Dog.
Yes,
like,
he does.
That contract was fucking huge.
Yeah, Big Game says Denver owes him $38 million. He's good. Yeah, he's good. That, so to take a bet minimum ain't nothing.
Ain't nothing for him. And he's nothing. Looking at the type of guy he is, he don't spend money like that.
True.
So you know what I'm saying? He's probably flipped his money into more money. He's that intelligent type of guy. Mm-hmm. So he's probably already flipped his money into more money. You know what I'm saying? So he don't look like he wastes money. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure he spends on Ciara or whatever, but she had her own money too a little bit already. So it's not like he gotta, you know, do all of that. But yeah, Baker deserves that. Yeah, I think he did enough to get a deal. And he shouldn't give him a home. He should not give him a hometown discount because he's younger and he hasn't had a nice contract yet. I mean, he still got to secure a little bit of his future. You know what I'm saying? You know, whether he's married, have children, I don't know, whatever. But you know, any future marriage or any future children that he may have, if he doesn't have any already, but Baker needs his money. Russ is good. Russ can do that.
Baker did jump start his career back again in Tampa.
He played very good this year.
And he did. He did. And he now was Mike Evans is re-signed, so you know they have that connection back again. So that does make sense. Thinking about these teams that you're saying, Atlanta, maybe the Falcons, the Raiders.
He don't need to go to the Raiders. The Raiders is dysfunctional. Atlanta.
Well, Tennessee doesn't have no weapons like that. Because Darren, I mean,
Russ do not need to take Ciara to Atlanta. Ciara does not need to be in Atlanta.
Oh, hell no.
I'm sorry.
You're right.
Russ do not need to be in that.
Take her ass up to Minnesota.
Take her ass up to Minnesota. Do not take her to Atlanta, dog. Don't do it. That's not a good idea. That's not a good idea. So no. No. No Atlanta. No, no Las Vegas. No Raiders. No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Mm-mm. Okay.
No.
No, I mean it really brings up an interesting conversation. I mean, because you're looking at some of these quarterbacks that are going to be coming out of the draft. And a lot of these teams that are going to be looking to, you know, get that next guy to, you know, possibly lead the squad or, you know, get them a decent quarterback to.
Somebody said, wouldn't it be funny if he went back to Seattle?
It would be funny, but that would be if the new coach had wanted him to come back.
Is that outside the realm of possibility? I mean, Pete Carroll.
It's never outside the realm. But then what are you going to do with Geno?
Pete Carroll. Because
I think they just re-signed Geno. They just re-signed Geno to another deal. I think we want to say like last year.
It's probably not a huge deal. Geno not a franchise quarterback. I mean, we know he's not a franchise quarterback.
Well, we know that, but he's played at least decent enough to earn that spot at this point in time.
I would probably take Russ over him. Russ was 7 in passing last year. He's like 7th in QBR or something like that. He threw 30 touchdowns and like 10 picks or something like that. Like, he actually had a good statistical season, even though they had and like you said, and that's why Peyton low key is using him as a scapegoat. Mm-hmm. And they would have played him them last few games. The only reason why they sat him is because of his contract, because he had a injury guarantee in his deal. So if he got hurt, they would still have to pay him out the rest of his fucking contract, even if he had hurt. So they signed him to a huge ass deal, and they gave him an injury guarantee on top of that. So they wanted him to waive that, and he refused to waive it. And that's good on him.
I don't blame him at all.
Yeah, don't waive that shit.
It makes me think about teams like Indianapolis, Chicago.
For
Russ.
No. QB. No, Indianapolis has Richardson. He got hurt, but he's coming back. And Chicago is gonna have one of the top QBs coming out of the draft. They will trade Fields. Fields will be gone, and
Fields is going to Atlanta.
And they're gonna have probably Caleb, but they'll have their choice, right? Because they have the number one pick. So I believe Chicago has the number one pick, right? So they'll have their choice of who they want, whether it be Caleb Williams, I guess, a USC guy, or, you know, any of those, the Washington guy, if they want him, Phoenix, and, you know, they'll have their choice. So they'll have their choice of who they want. So no, Chicago, no. Indianapolis, no, they're out of it. They have a young QB. Even though it got hurt, he was playing well before he went down. He showed promise, at least. He showed more promise than Carolina's dude.
Yeah.
But
It's going to be interesting to see where he ends up. It will be. And I'm not even that you say it, I'm not going to put the Seattle out the mix, him coming back.
I mean, I'm not gonna put the Raiders out the mix too, because he's gonna have to take what he gets, right? Well, so yeah. if he wants to start, I don't want to see him on the Raiders. But if he wants to start and the Raiders the only team that's promised him a starting position, then I mean that's what he's gonna have to do.
So is everybody saying clear cut that Kirk Cousins is done
in Minnesota?
In Minnesota, he got hurt last year. They're not going to give him another chance. But is he done in Minnesota?
I think if Minnesota wants to get out from under him, this is the perfect time to do it.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
If Minnesota wants to, if Minnesota Brass, if they want to move on from Kirk Cousins, then do it now.
That makes perfect sense. Sign this guy at the vet minimum. You got a guy who's healthy.
And you can sign Russell Wilson to 1 year. You can sign one year, two year deal at the most. 1 year with one. They don't really do option contracts in football. I'm not sure. You know, like 1 year with a 1 year option and all that kind of bullshit, like opt out clauses and all that shit. I never really see that in football, but yeah, you sign them to 1 year. You know what I'm saying?
At the big game, B is at the money. Yeah, Minnesota can save the bread. That's true, man. That's gonna be interesting. That'll be very interesting to see him handle over there. That'd be very interesting. That would be. Okay. No doubt. I like this. 3 points. Doing here. Y'all already know BGSC Network, man. Money Man Cave. Let's talk points number three. We saw the videos. We heard everything that was going on about this. And I kind of want to dive into this my own self. Our own Cam Newton. Cam Newton got jumped. Now, I don't want to laugh necessarily. I'm going to pull up a few videos. This first video here is Cam actually responding to what had went down. Let's just hear what it is. This is a very short video.
Too many times we've seen people, hecklers, fans, whatever, kind of give off an energy not knowing that they may get what they're asking for. As a fan, you're free to say whatever you want to say. My issue comes when you play the victim. You started this, and the energy that you are giving, I just matched it. So.
When people start to play the victim, they started it. He just matched the energy. Let's take a look at what everybody is talking about, which is this incident that happened with Mr. Cam Newton. Now, I'm not going to play the audio on this. I don't want to get caught. But as you can see, there's Cam Newton right there. And from what they were saying, this was a 7-on-7 tournament. These guys came up to him. He's talking mess, wanted to get in a fight. At so many point in time, and I've heard this from, you know, I'm listening to some of these analysts, Ryan Clark, a lot of these guys, and they say things as if, you know, you got guys out there that didn't make it, that didn't get to the highest level of success like Cam Newton has. He's played in the NFL, been to a Super Bowl, MVP. You know, he's done things that the normal man hasn't. And you got guys out there who necessarily feel that, oh, this is their one time to shine. This is their one time that they can sit there and prove that they could have been in the league, that they could have did whatever, you know, whatnot. And they see a guy who's an ex-player, and they probably think that, you know, I can take him, I can do this, I can do that. And then you have situations that happen like this where these guys get above their heads, start talking mess, and eventually these are the kind of things that happen, which is kind of unfortunate. My biggest takeaway from that is, though, which is quite hilarious to me, is that, and a lot of people had actually mentioned it too, Cam's hat did not fall off. Cam was literally throwing guys like straight off of him like it was nothing. It's like he got jumped. They say it was about 7 people. I don't know. But it was at least, I counted about a good 2 to 3 guys. But it's like he stood on his feet, full ground, didn't get taken down, nothing like that. People tend to forget just how strong Cam Newton is. Okay? I mean, this guy was a quarterback in the league, but damn it, he ran like a running back. Fucking huge. And to see these guys jump him, you know, which is very, you know, it sucks to see something like that. I think he was coming for the 7-on-7 tournament, you know, trying to get back to the community. And these kind of things happen. Quite unfortunate, man, but I know everybody's been talking about it, and I just wanted to get my two cents into it. Yo, y'all gotta stop, bro. Y'all gotta stop. I don't want to say it's a black, it's a white thing, because you look at some of these white establishments or these white thing, these white, what'd you call them, events that may get sponsored, you know, something like Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, or something like this, somebody may do. You would never see these kind of things happen. It just always tends to be at the black events where these kind of things can jump off, which is quite unfortunate. That being said, man, yeah, you got to learn to pick your battles, people. You got to learn to pick your battles. And then why are you even trying to fight this man? For what reason? For what reason? I really want to know what was said to cause all of that to happen. I really do. I would like to know. And, you know, with what we had just seen the video before, Cam said, hey, look, y'all started it. Y'all brought that energy, and I just matched the energy. And I know he's gone on his podcast, you know, apologizing and saying that, you know, he didn't want to be in that light, trying to make right of the situation. Hey, man, sometimes you just deserve to get your ass whooped. I don't know. Maybe so. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Brian, what you think, man?
Man, this is ridiculous, man. I think some black people, some niggas, they have an obsession with trying to punk people. You know what I'm saying? And they have an obsession with like trying, like, and they do disrespect people and they say crazy shit. And when you talk back, they get super offended and they want to fight and they want to shoot. So they think they can say whatever they want to say to you, and you have to just take it. And then if you take it, they clown you even more. They call you even more bees and hoes and all this kind of stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? And say, you a punk and we punked you and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And you didn't have no fight in you. You didn't fight back, you know? And then when you say something back, you know, and then you match the same energy that they were giving to you. But the whole point is, why do you feel the need, like you question, why do you feel need to fight this man? But why do you feel the need to disrespect this man at his own, at his event?
Right. Right.
At his event that he's sponsoring. You know what I'm
what
saying?
What were you trying to prove? What was, yeah.
I think they just, some black, they just like to try to punk people, man. They think they want to say whatever they want to say to you. And they just, it's.
This is that hating. To me, this is that hating. This is this that crab in a bucket
mentality. Yeah, that's real hate. That's real hating. Yes, that's you hating.
You know, that's that crab in a bucket mentality. And of course, we know that Cam Newton's not in the league. But it's not like the man couldn't play tomorrow if he got picked up. People look at that. People see these athletes that come here that, you know, do these events. They look at them, and it's like a sense of jealousy that comes out because they made it and I didn't get to make it. You know, they got to the NFL. I didn't get to the NFL. They got to the NBA and I didn't get to get to the NBA.
It's jealousy. And you know, Cam wears those hats, those fancy hats. I love his hats, you know, with the feathers in them.
Yeah.
And it's like a feather in their cap, in the haters cap. Like, you know, it's the metaphorical feather in their cap to be able to say, hey, I beat up Cam Newton, or I took him down, or I punked him, or I talked mess and he didn't do nothing, and he's a punk, and Cam ain't about nothing. Yeah. And not like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for some reason, I don't know, man. Like, that's why a lot of successful people, a lot of people who so-called, quote-unquote, made it out, that's why they don't come back.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then we get mad when they don't come back, and we say, hey, You then moved out to the bricks. You moved out to the white folks. You moved out to the valley.
Yeah.
You moved out to Calabasas, and you don't want to be around your own people. You moved out there with them folks. You know what I'm saying?
Got the hood and chains.
And no, it's not usually the people like Cam Newton who've changed. It's the reaction to Cam Newton. It's the reaction from the people who didn't make it out. It's their change in attitude towards the people who made it that's changed.
Yeah.
Because they your friends, they cool with you and all that. When you right there with them in the trenches, everybody good.
Yeah.
But if you
we all gonna be broke together.
But if you climb out the trenches and you come back, they looking at you like you don't belong there anymore. And it's like
they asking for a handout. So they can be on the same level. Right.
So it's
sucks, man.
It definitely sucks, man.
It's like that.
It's embarrassing. Like to not, and then that's why a lot of these athletes don't come back. And I'm not saying not all, but that's why some athletes won't hold their own personal events. They won't hold them real close to the hood either, right? Like, you got to go out to get to some of the events. I remember Kobe's academy was like deep down in Orange County somewhere. You know what I'm saying? His Mamba Academy. Even Kanye's little school, right, was like all the way out near Calabasas somewhere. Like, you know what I'm saying? And we said, why don't they build schools in the hood? It's because the people in the hood,
for this reason.
they a lot of times the people in the hoods don't respect what they have already. So why would they expect something new? Like, unfortunately, and you got a lot of great people in the hood, but it's the fucked up people. It's the ignorant people that fuck it up for everybody, bro. It's the ignorant people. It's the ignorant people who don't clean up after themselves and leave the hood trashed and stuff like that, and don't want to respect what you do for them. I mean, the only reason why Nipsey Hussle's his computer labs and stuff like that, like were able to survive, like, you know what I'm saying, without like necessarily being disrespected and shit going on, is because of the strength behind it. You know what I'm saying? Because he was behind it, like, and he had 60s behind it. Like, you know what I'm saying? But if they didn't respect that kind of threat of retaliation, like, who knows? Like, if his shit would have been able to survive, like, true, in that situation. Because for whatever reason, man, the hood, like, you got a small group of people in the hood that fucks it up for everyone else. You got a lot of good people, a lot of decent people in these neighborhoods. They just poor. That's it. Like, that's the only difference between them and everybody else. We just of a lower economic scale.
Thanks.
But then, you know, when they come up and they get out, a lot of people they do want to get out the hood because it's fucked up. Like, it's violent. Like, you know, and when you say that, we hate acknowledging truths in a lot of senses, right? And even right now, the way we talking, we kind of tiptoeing around saying, a lot of times you tiptoe around saying how you truly feel about shit because people get offended over the way you say something, over how you say something. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, facts is facts, man.
Yes, it is.
We gotta quit this shit, man. I don't know when niggas is gonna get tired of going through this shit, like the shit that happened at Six Flags.
Oh yeah, you know I heard about saying? That. ATL, yeah.
And yeah. And yeah. When are we gonna get when are we and the fucking parade, the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade, what went down there? I don't know when we're gonna get tired of shit like this. It's something gotta give.
Yeah, it's gotta give at some point. It's gotta give at some point, definitely. It's unfortunate, but you know, at some point in time, y'all, we gotta wise up, and hopefully that we can do that very, very soon. We can all come to one accord and agree, so we ain't gotta have to deal with this kind of stuff anymore. Shout out to you, B. That's some good talk, man. That's some good talk. Even my boy Big Game said, church, preach. No doubt. No doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, that is my 3 points. Agree or disagree. Let us go.
Wait. I got 1 point.
Oh,
I got
one. Go ahead.
One point to add to number one, your first point. LeBron hitting 40,000. We also had Caitlin Clark pass Pistol Pete Maravich this weekend for all-time points scored in D1 basketball, women's and men's.
Yeah.
So, she
don't
scored.
Don't want to discredit her for that, too.
She's the first player. She's the first D1 player. I don't know if they said all-time or if it's in, like, a long time. But she scored 20-plus in 40 straight games. So she scored 35 in that game where she passed Pistol Pete. And I mean, her shot is just wet, though. Like, she just like, and she's shooting from deep. Remember when we talked about that 3-point contest with Steph and old girl?
Yeah.
And I said, hey, women, they just need to start shooting from deeper. Just start shooting. I don't care where the 3-point line is. I don't care where it is. Just shoot deep. Shoot 5 feet from behind that bitch. And that's what Caitlin Clark was shooting from deep. Like, dog, she got range. Like, if she needs to just shoot from deep, man. Just shoot from deep. That's how she's going to change the game. That's how they're going to change the game. That's how it's going to evolve. And, yeah, but I don't know if they ready for her when she comes to the WNBA, dog. I think she's going to really take over the WNBA by storm. I don't know who she's going to get drafted by or if she's going to have a good team or not when she gets to the league. But, she's going to do some damage.
She's going to do some damage. Definitely. Man, so, yeah, shout out to Caitlin Clark. Shout out to LeBron. Everybody like that. Y'all know what it is, man. 3 points, man. Agree or disagree? No doubt, man. Let's go to my next favorite thing, winners and losers. Let's go. All right, so in this segment here on winners and losers, man, I tend to bring out who I feel is won, who I feel is lost within this week. And I usually have just a couple of winners, couple of losers. But it's 1-1 today, 1-1. So I'm going to get to it. My first winner. I don't know if you guys are a big wrestling fan, but I've been a wrestling fan all my life. I'm not particularly keen on the new stuff. You know, I grew up with Jake the Snake Roberts, the Hulk Hogan's, all of those guys. But one of these guys here is recently retired. Had his last match last night, and that would be Mr. Sting. Sting has officially retired. He is out of the game, and he won his last match as a tag team champion of AEW. He had Darby Allin as his tag team partner. And they won as a tag team, and apparently him being over there at AEW, he had an undefeated record. I believe it was like 28-0, probably like 29-0 now that he has done what he has done. But in dedication of what Sting has done, I want to go ahead and show you guys a quick clip of his last match that he had last night. So let's watch Sting. If I can get it up. Oh, I know what I gotta do. There, that might be better. Here we go. Let's watch Sting, man.
A bright looking Mark Carver's back. Oh my God, he's all taped up. He's all bandaged. He's still bleeding. Glass and he's body. Carver willing to sacrifice. And the win. Give me a scoop in the clock. Listen to this crowd. Listen to this sold-out crowd here in Greensboro. The end has got to be near. It's got to be near.
Quiet though. Quite dope to see Sting wrestle his last match and Sting wins as a winner. Tag team champion with Darby Allin. And of course, it was in AEW, but I remember watching Sting in WCW, WWF. I remember him coming out in the blonde. And actually, I didn't pull up the footage, but he actually came out this last match. He had his two sons. His two sons came out with him. His first son came out and he was dressed in the blonde hair. Sting, you know, with the buzz cut, you know, his first son came out like that. The second son came out as the NWO Wolfpack Sting with the red crow, red and black with the face and whatnot. And then Sting came out with the actual black and white crow look that we know him to have done. And actually, it's actually a story that is out there that, what's his name? Scott Hall, may he rest in peace, my man. Razor Ramon. It seen Sting putting on the face, you know, putting on his, you know, face paint in the back. And he had actually asked him, he was like, man, have you ever seen the crow? You know, sometimes, you know, talking less will do more. So he asked me, have you ever seen the crow? And Sting watched the movie Crow and he was in awe. And that's where you got the black and white Sting from, where he came, where he didn't even talk that much. But he became like that anti-hero that everybody liked. So it's good to see this Sting, who had a phenomenal career, 40 years that he started in like 1985. 40 years, man, the man is like 64 years old now. And now he is, without a doubt, going out as a legend. So, hey, man, you got to give props. Got to give props to Sting, man. Excuse me. Shit, he's... You can't think of wrestling and can't name Sting. You know what I'm saying? You can't name professional wrestling without Sting. So, you know, to see that he made it this far, 64 years old, man, he's still doing his thing, man. Shout out to you, Sting. Congratulations, man. Good job. Yeah. Dope stuff.
He's one of the GOATs. He's one of the GOATs. He's one of the biggest names in the history of the sport. The funny thing is, right, to me, it's kind of weird that the WWE Hall of Fame has become like the greatest wrestling Hall of Fame, right? Like, so I don't necessarily see him as a WWE guy, but he has to go into the WWE Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? And they will put him in there. They will put him in there. But like I've always seen Sting as a WCW guy. Like
I think we all did.
WCW guy, and you know I would even see him more as an AEW guy over a WWE guy. Like he just wasn't. And I mean, he wrestled in WWE a little bit, but he was a WCW guy, man.
Yeah, he was.
That's what he was. Like when was it Nitro? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, those WCW Nitro.
Those years where WWF, before it even came WWE, when it was still WWF and WCW were competing head to fucking head.
Yeah.
And you had Eric Bischoff, you know what I'm saying? And and McMahon battling each other for wrestling supremacy. You know what I'm saying?
Good days.
Sting was like one of those guys where if you were a WCW guy, and I knew big WCW fans back then, and it was almost like an Xbox versus PlayStation type thing.
Real talk.
They were hurt when wrestlers switched shows. Yeah. Like we used to get hurt back then, dog. When a WCW guy came over to WWF, or a WWF guy left and went over to WCW, it was almost like on some traitor stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And when New World Order started, you know what I'm saying? Hulk Hogan and everything, a lot, you know, those guys, they kind of got like cast off from WWF, right? And yeah. then they went and built WCW up to like sure to be did. So strong, to be so
NWO, such a, all of that,
such a strong competition. And it was just like you had a lot of guys that wanted to see WCW take over the mantle as the premier, show, as the premier production.
See, WCW had Goldberg, though.
Goldberg, they had
the undefeated streak was fucking incredible, dude.
And I mean, incredible. you had to be there to understand it. It's kind of like, well, why does it matter if the WCW guys come over to WWE? Because when they all came over to WWE, it didn't really seem like a big deal. No, man, it was. If you were there from the beginning, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. You didn't want to see your guys change shows like that. Like, it was a competition. It was like, if you was WCW, you was like, low-key, fuck WWF. And if you was WWF, you was like, low-key, fuck WCW. Like, it. And of course, you got people that love both. And I think it was, a lot of it is friendly rivalry type stuff. You know what I'm saying? But like, I think some of it had like some, it was might have been some genuine kind of hatred behind some of that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Because I believe it was.
Because McMahon's pops, like McMahon's father, Vince McMahon's father, like crushed a lot of independent wrestling productions to build WWF to what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And WCW was like one of the last productions that, you know, he couldn't crush. So his father couldn't, his father couldn't crush everything. And Vince, what his father didn't do, Vince did, you know what I'm saying, throughout the 80s. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of, WCW was like a rebellion. It was like a rebellion outfit to WWF, man. And it was just... You had to be there, man, to like understand what it meant.
You had to be there. You definitely Sting, right. You're right.
And you never expected Sting to go to WWF. Like you never Sting was WCW. Sting was WCW. He was the guy. Like we got Sting. Y'all got all that shit y'all got over there in WWF, whatever. But we got Sting though.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't got nothing like that. Y'all ain't got that.
I agree with you. Definitely. To continue on, man, and kind of get ready to close the show a little bit. My losing is a very sad note at this point in time. I don't know if you guys have heard, but we have suffered a tragic loss in the sports world, ESPN and whatnot. But Mr. Chris Mortensen, who has definitely been a part of so many NFL broadcasts, especially coming out in drafts, giving you some information within the season on different teams and players. Tragically, he passed away the other day at the age of 72. And I looked up a stat. It said since 1985, Chris Mortensen has covered every Super Bowl, with the exception of Super Bowl 50, when he had no choice but to take a leave of absence after he was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer. Now, I don't know specifically if that is what took him out, but I do want to give my condolences to him, to his family, ESPN family, because, I mean, if you're a football fan, if you pay attention to, you know, the draft, if you pay attention to any of that stuff, man, you saw more. You always saw more on the TV. You saw more giving his analysis on quarterbacks, on players, wide receivers. Always having the in-depth, you know,
off-season news, you know, breaking news, off-season news. He was like that insider type of guy, you know.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Liked by everybody. Liked by everybody. And, you know, it's sad. Definitely sad, man, that you knew they lose another guy, man, along with your Stuart Scotts and, you know, all the other guys, man, all the other greats that have lost, you know, from ESPN. But this is the most recent. So I do, in my own personal way on this show, I want to reflect on him and, you know, just say for him and his family that, you know, it's full support all around to him, man. May he rest in heaven. He's at much better peace. And I know he's up there, you know, giving his details and analysis on this upcoming draft and whatnot. So, you know, much love to you, Mort. We love you. Shout out to you and your family. You will truly be missed. And I will definitely, it definitely won't feel the same with this draft coming up, because we won't get to see Mort give his analysis and stuff like that. But we understand and how it goes. That being said, man, I want to thank each and every one of you guys for being part of the Money Man Cave, for joining me here on the BGSC Network. Make sure you guys like, subscribe, follow, do all of that good stuff. Hit the bell for the notification, so anytime my show comes on, you guys can click in. You know how we do it. I appreciate you guys. I always like to end the show and let you know that if you guys are suffering from mental health, anything that is going on, please seek help. Because mental health is real. Talk with somebody that has gone through it. I'm telling you right now, you can go get help and somebody can help you. It's always good to talk with friends, people that will tell you the things that you want to hear. But sometimes it's best to talk to a stranger or somebody that can help you and tell you what you need to hear to help you further better your life. Because mental health is a real subject. It is a real issue. And we all need help at some point in time. Y'all, I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Thank you so much again in the Money Man Cave for BGSC Network, for myself, for Big Game, for the Buff Nerd, Jay Stoggs, man, for Philly, my boys in Philly, the Two Birds, One Show. Everybody that's a part of this, every follower, everybody that's ever liked one of our videos, that is following the whole network and all of that, man, we love it. We love it and we appreciate you so, so much. Man, thank you so much for everything that you guys do and continue to do. For myself, my man, Brian, y'all already know what it is, man. I will see you guys next week, most definitely, for the Monday Man Cave. All right? Y'all take it easy, baby. Peace. Cruising in a Ferrari, the hair and nails are toes done, always keep it started. Never gonna give me a
Don't make a lot of women mad at this one, but it's all right.
Never gonna get a shot at romance. It's kind of too cold.
Yeah.
I'm ice cold.